Good morning. I'd like to call the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting to order. Madam Secretary, will you take the floor, please?
Committee Chair Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez. We have a forum.
Thank you. Any public comment? No public comment. At this time, I'd like to welcome Director Darcy to the Finance Committee. Thank you for joining us. Director Banks had a conflict with the time, and Director Darcy was kind enough to step up and fill his role on the committee, so thank you. I'd like to move approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting and executive session. We could do that together, right? An executive session held on April 18th of 2012. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Motion passes. Executive Director.
Oh, thank you. So just a couple of things to update you all on. While it's not on this agenda of procurement items, we do plan to bring an emergency purchase to the full board next week relative to our PCI compliance work. Due to an unexpected departure of one of our IT employees, we're going to need an emergency purchase to acquire outside services for Payment Card Industry, PCI, Data Security Standards Council. So PCI is the compliance, you need to be compliant and is the overseer, as you both may be aware. If we take credit card information as the tollway does, this is just that level of security to make sure that we're protected and our accounts are protected. And every year we are required to have a qualified security assessor certify that we are compliant and have kept up with any updates or computer updates to keep our system secure. Work needs to begin in mid-June, and as I said, we had this unexpected staff departure that typically this individual was our expert and would have done this but has taken another position. So the primary person who had performed this service again was an internal employee, and she's decided to move outside the tollway. If the tollway is not able to obtain the services of a QSA, Qualified Security Assessor, to perform the scope of work, our handling of credit card transactions may be at risk, an option we all agree would be problematic for our agency and its operations. So, apologies, but this is something that did just come up. We couldn't get it ready for this committee meeting, but wanted to alert you that we would need to try to move that on the full board agenda next week. There's another similar contract that we had. It wasn't quite ready for a previous board meeting and somehow was left off the list for this one, which is A1 Lock. This company provides hardware and parts for our security system here at Central Administration and at the maintenance site. We apologize that this one also was left off. We'll make sure that you all have materials on it, but it's going to be about a $270,000 purchase. We're at the point now where we can't order any new parts. Because we don't have a contract in place. So again, apologies that we didn't get that on the agenda, but we'll send out the detail and put it on the full board agenda hopefully next week if that's acceptable and there are any questions about it. Also want to mention the Nature Conservancy agreement that you may remember approving in previous months. The contract did not include the cost for prevailing wage. We found that when the Nature Conservancy gave us their estimate, they didn't use prevailing wage rates. And so when they received our contract after the board approved the contract, their attorneys caught the reference to prevailing wage and realized that they, had used a different wage rate. So they're going to have to come back with an adjusted estimate to make sure that they're accommodating the prevailing wage requirements. So we are going to need to maybe come back with an amendment to that one as well to include some extra funds to make sure that the prevailing wage requirements are addressed. So those were really, my items. If there aren't any other questions for me, I'm happy to.
So basically on the PCI, the credit card security system, we're going to have outsource is what you're recommending for, is that temporary outsource or would that be permitted or?
We would like to, our plan is to rehire a staff person or the internal expertise to handle some of this because it's going to continue to be an issue. There will always need to be some portion of this that will be outsourced. We did an outsourced assessment, I think last year or the year before to make sure that our, standards were up to, there have been some changes in the standards and to make sure that we were, our standards were in compliance with some of the updated provisions. But our plan is ultimately, yes, to hire someone. It's just we're not going to be able to do it between, do it, get up to speed, and have that person do the work that they would need to do between now and September,
okay.
Which is when we need to, you know, again, kind of recertify what we are.
Okay. So will you bring firms to the full board that we will approve, or a firm that will outsource them?
A firm. It will be an emergency. So we've reached out, as we typically do, to a couple different vendors to get quotes.
Okay.
And then, you know, we typically go with the lowest qualified one. So that's our plan for that.
Thank you. Any questions? Thanks, Christy.
Yeah.
Finance, where Mike's going to give us a presentation of the quarterly financial review report for first quarter ending March 31st.
Good morning, directors. Good morning, everyone. The results for the first quarter are in and look to be on track for the fiscal year 2012 budget. First, wanted to just briefly remind you of the 2012 budget overview. A total estimated revenue of $973 million. Of course, most of that is toll revenue and evasion recovery associated with those tolls that aren't paid at the point of the transaction. That revenue is allocated $268 million to the operations budget. A reminder that we're putting about $10.4 million into the operating reserve this year. Debt service transfers, our debt service obligations, about $255 million, and that leaves $440 million for renewal and replacement improvement, which are capital accounts that we help to fund the capital program.
My first question on the operating reserve, what's that in addition to from last year? We increased it by?
Last year's reserve at the start of this year is $17 million, so it will go up to just over $27 million by the end of the year.
How high do you want to take that? Is there a cap you're going to go with that, or are you just going to continue to do that every year?
The cap on the reserve is 30% of your operating expenditures. So that number could go as high as, right now, could go as high as almost $80 million if we chose to do that. Actually, a little higher than that. For the first quarter, toll revenues and toll transactions performed better than what we had anticipated, than what CDM Smith, our traffic engineer, had forecast at the start of the year. In total, our revenue was up $3.5 million, or about 1.6% from the projections for the first quarter. You can see that's entirely attributable to toll revenue and evasion recovery. It's really toll revenue. About a $4 million positive variance in toll revenue. Miscellaneous revenue is, it's a little more volatile in terms of the timing of when we received that. It was down about $500,000 from what we had projected at the start of the year, but overall, good shape through the first quarter. And we'll talk a little bit more about why that is on some subsequent slides. The operating budget, we budgeted $63.2 million to be expended in the first quarter. We actually expended about $60.7 million during the first quarter, so $2.4 million less than what was projected for the first quarter or allocated for the first quarter. The primary areas of difference are in contractual services, where we spent less money on image review associated with the images that we take in the violation enforcement program, and we spent less than what was anticipated on the customer call center. I think if you remember, we had budgeted a little more for business systems activities, customer calls, because of the changeover or the increase in the rate on January 1. That increase did not materialize as much as what we had thought it would be in the first quarter. Materials, operating supplies, and other expenses were down almost $1 million. primarily attributable to a mild winter. We didn't have to purchase or utilize as much in roadway and winter materials in this first quarter of 2012. Parts and fuel, this is really a timing issue. You can see it's $730,000 less than what we had budgeted. There is so the fuel vendors currently, one of the primary fuel vendors is having kind of a review or a discussion with CMS about how the bill or an invoicing issue, a billing issue. They're trying to work that through. They're not quite in agreement on how much should be invoiced, and therefore this is really a result of we have not received all of the fuel bills for that we should have received by the end of the first quarter. So we expect that that positive variance will go away as we work through the billing issue.
I have a question about materials and supplies.
Sure.
The salt that we purchased, are we able to store that salt, for next year or?
We are.
We're able to store, we have enough facility, enough capacity to store that?
And in fact, we're ending this winter season with a lot more in storage than what we would typically have. And that will help us in terms of what we would need to acquire starting in the summer months when we assess our needs coming into the, generally what in August or September, we try to make orders to fill those facilities to start the winter season.
So it'll be a lot less this year, orders this year will be a lot less than last year because of
In this contract, it has a requirement in it that we have to purchase 80% of at least what we estimated we would use this year. So we are very fortunate that we can get it all inside and store it under roof. And, it's a lot more environmental friendly that way. And I did notice that I was driving out to Ohio last week and I saw along the Indiana Toll Road and some of the other turnpikes, they are storing a lot of their salt outside. So I'm glad that we were able to fit everything in its numbers.
And finally, equipment and office rental maintenance. We have spent less than what we had anticipated on maintenance of the electronic toll collection system in the field. The capital program is significantly under for the first quarter. About $3 million of the savings relates to real costs associated with lower bids. Much of this is related to timing issues. Some of it, particularly in the construction program, a good portion of it is due to the procurement issues that we've been trying to work through with respect to delays associated with getting contracts underway. And some of it is related to non-construction projects that we just haven't started yet in business systems and IT. It is likely that we will spend less on the capital program this year than what we had anticipated because of those issues.
So we'll certainly keep the board posted on that, but as you know from previous presentations, it's just been really, there's definitely been an issue with the delays around procurement, and that, our notices to proceed have been delayed, which clearly you see the ramifications of that here.
I mentioned we would cover toll revenues and transactions in a little bit more detail. This will give you some additional idea of why our toll revenue is up. We had forecast passenger vehicle transactions to decline 5.9% during 2012. In fact, during the first quarter, those transactions declined only 2.4%. So many fewer left the system as a result of the rate increase than what had been forecast during the first quarter. Commercial vehicle transactions performed better than anticipated as well, which is a good sign, obviously, for the economy. Commercial vehicle transactions were forecast to increase for the entire year, about 2.2%. So on a year-to-year basis, when you compare the first quarter of 2011 with the first quarter of 2012, that increase was actually 6.7% during the first quarter. Finally, that translates to more revenue. Total revenues were projected to increase 41% in 2012, and the first quarter year-to-year comparison was up 45.5%.
How does that compare with, I know last year, 2011, you had a snowstorm in February, so probably decreased some of that commercial vehicle transactions. How did that go back to 2010? Are we back to 2010 numbers, or are we above 2010?
In terms of transactions, I believe we're above on commercial vehicle, okay, but below on passenger
vehicle. So just to make sure, though, on the first point, you know, the 5.9% that was projected was an annual projection, so over the course of the year. And we always expected that there would be times in the year, like the first quarter would be one where maybe it would be slightly less than that, and then, you know, as traffic goes up and some trips over the summer months, maybe it goes higher, and that the average over the course of the year. So we still, I think, are expecting, aren't we, Mike, that you know, we're somewhere around that 5.9% for the year.
We are. I think, as Director Peterson mentioned, we did have some aspects of the first quarter that were different with respect to 2012 and there were 2011, including the weather and so forth.
Right.
So we would not expect that transactions will only decline 2.4% for the year. It will likely be higher. Also, just to give you an update on what the fund balances, how the revenues and expenditures impacted the fund balances. As you can see, the total maintenance and operating fund or account balance remained at $26 million, but you can see that the reserve did increase from 17 to 20 as we started setting aside more in that operating reserve. The renewal replacement account increased $60 million from the end of 2011, and the improvement account increased by $1 million. That's really it. We have some additional materials in the appendix, comparisons to the prior year and so forth, in case you're interested in that data. Any questions?
No, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. Under finance, we're also going to review and have approval of an updated investment policy. There's been an investment policy change that I think, Mike, do you want to walk us through that?
Sure.
So the first item that we have for finance, for the Finance Administration and Operations Committee, is review and approval of an updated investment policy. The last time this policy was updated was in 2006. Our policy is based primarily on, or very similar to, the State of Illinois Treasurer's investment policy, but we also updated it to make sure that we had included all aspects of the policy that are outlined or described in the Public Funds Investment Act. The changes that we made, and I think the policy is attached, the changes that we've made began with the authorized investment officers, the executive director, chief of finance, controller, and deputy chief of finance. The only change in that particular aspect of the investment policy is that the chief accountant was replaced by our deputy chief of finance. We thought it was better to keep the chief accountant, to not have the chief accountant as an authorized investment officer. Secondly, in terms of the objectives of the policy, we made it clear in the policy that we would prioritize the safety of principal over secondary objectives of maintaining liquidity and return. Another area that we updated was the ethics and conflicts of interest section. Previously, did here was to ensure that the authorized, clarify that the policy applies to those that are making investment decisions, the authorized investment officers, and anyone else that would be involved in the investment decision-making process. Previously, there were listed employees in policy-making positions, some of which have little or basically nothing to do with the investments. In addition, there was some reporting requirements for personal investment positions that previously were required to be disclosed to the executive director. We replaced that with the requirement that authorized investment officers and those making those involved in the decision-making process would be required to file statements of economic interest with the Secretary of State's office, which would disclose those investment positions.
I know you also have an ethics and conflicts of interest that the investment officer should seek guidance from our Tollways General Counsel. I wonder if the council has a chance, have you had a chance to review this policy?
We have, Director. The person who we're directing anybody with potential issues in the ethics arena is to the Tollways ethics officer, which is Lisa Williams, and she and I have had meetings on this, which is where we'd expect people to take this. We've also discussed that it wouldn't be the expectation that Lisa would necessarily tackle this all on her own. She has a number of resources that she can consult with, including my office. So that's how it's reading right now, is directing people to our ethics office.
Okay. Are you okay with these changes also?
We absolutely are. We actually encourage them.
Okay, and I think you said you've been practicing these are kind of perfunctory. These are changes, but you've been practicing these the last year or two. We just want to make them official, some of these practices.
Yes, some of the reporting requirements and so forth that we are adding here, we have.
Okay.
Next page. Again, this clarifies that in addition to the authorized brokers include those that are currently on the list of the treasurer's authorized broker. The treasurer does an RFP. They put together a list of authorized investment officers. This clarifies that we're all able, in addition to that list, to utilize where necessary the services of the trustee who has that a contractual relationship with us to purchase investments as required. In the investment book policy, purchases of investments do require a minimum of three bids. In terms of the municipal, we are currently not authorized to invest in municipal bonds. It's legislative change. we've been considering or seeking this change would clarify that the rating on that investment should be able to receive that authorization from the General Assembly could not be less than a double A, or double A three, double A minus or double A three. Currently, we are allowed to invest in money market mutual funds. Previously, the requirement was to be rated the highest classification of at least one rating service. And we're modifying this to make it clear that those money market funds are restricted to underlying investment portfolio of U.S. Treasuries and agency agreements. Repurchase those under the Public Fund Investment Act. And then finally, this is the list of authorized investments. This change clarifies that municipal bonds can be an authorized investment, but it's contingent upon state statute being changed to allow for that investment.
And the collateralization, did you find out, is it more than 100%, is it 110% or 100%?
For those deposits that are required to be collateralized, and many of them aren't right now because of the Dodd-Frank, because it's federally insured, the treasurer has made a practice of collateralizing at 102%.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mike. Well, I would like to, at this time, call for a motion for approval of the updated investment policy. Do I hear a motion to approve? Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes and moves to the full board consent agenda. Item number two, under finance, approval to close out portions of the improvement requirement established prior to congestion relief program.
Okay. This is a, thank you. Section 511 of the Tollways Trust Indenture of our trust indenture authorizes the tollway to adopt resolutions pursuant to the estimated costs of improvements, which are prepared by our consulting engineer when we develop capital programs. Improvements are different from renewal and replacement projects in that they tend to be enhancements to the system. New roads, new interchanges, new bridges. The trust indenture requires that in order to use tollway funds and deposit it into the improvement account, that the board adopt a resolution authorizing deposit of funds for the purposes of building those improvements as opposed to just repairing the system. We did just that recently. We authorized an improvement requirement of $1 billion associated with the Move Illinois program for those projects that are improvements in the Move Illinois program. In addition, we had previously authorized those improvement deposits for the CRP program. But we also have resolutions that exist that predate the CRP for which the projects have already been completed or closed or discontinued. And what we want to do with this, what we'd like to do with this resolution, is close out those old resolutions that predated the CRP to take away any question that the funds that are sitting there in the improvement account should and will be used for the congestion relief program and or the Move Illinois program. And some of these older resolutions, project resolutions, date back as far as 1986. They really are stale, and it's a kind of a housekeeping effort here to clean those up. And so it's our recommendation to do that. I think there's a list attached here in the of those resolutions attached on you as backup.
Any questions?
Some clarification. So we're saying that for the congestion relief program, we set aside $1.4 million and we spent $943 million. So there's, I'm sorry, $1,457 million. And we have expenditures of $943 million. So what you're asking is that we're going to clear out $500 million. Of this to move it to
these, I believe, are resolutions prior to the congestion relief program. Mm-hmm. So at one point, the money wasn't set aside, but it authorized the use of up to $1.4 billion for these projects. Now we're saying we don't need to set aside that last $500 million. We're going to close back those resolutions out.
And that set aside was never included in that 2012 budget, right? Because we figured that we didn't need it anymore.
Right, we have not.
But was it included in the budget prior to that?
Currently, the balance in the improvement account is $138 million. Okay.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve to close out portions of the improvement?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the consent full board agenda. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Item number seven, procurement. Item number one, this award of contract item is being pulled because it's been received the approval of the, which has been delegated.